community radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
From Johnny Marr, Easy Money. Phoenix FM, Brentwood's only alternative, and I'm delighted to be joined by Mark and Joe and Tarek the Velvet Tree. Hello, Mark and Tarek and Joe.
Good evening.
Hello. Good to have you back at Phoenix FM. Always a pleasure. Okay, well, we're going to have a chat in a little while, but straight away we're going to have a little session from you. We're going to have three songs, is that right?
Yeah.
Great. Possibly. Brilliant. Hope so. Right. we rehearsed this well. Okay, what's the first song we got?
It's called A Little Like You.
Okay, when you're ready.
If I ever tried running and falling, if I ever wanted more than a moment or two, if I ever needed someone to die for, maybe I would choose someone a little like you, a little like you. She never saw the color of water, she never tasted something you already knew, she never felt the smile of a sunrise, felt the beauty in someone a little like you. Circles in your head, wishing it was someone else instead. Never holding what you knew. Cry me a river every night, praying that it hasn't passed you by. God knows I can't swim without someone a little like you, a little like you, a little like you. Did you ever wonder where you were driving? Did you ever wonder where you were going to? Did you never see the sign in the window telling people I need someone a little like you, a little like you? All the little circles in your head, wishing it was someone else instead.
Fantastic. And I apologise every single time I have a band in because I'm always outnumbered by the band. So your applause sounds a little bit weak, but it's not weak at all. It's meant with the greatest sincerity. Yeah, I really enjoyed that. Is that a new song?
No. Actually, that's quite an old one.
Oldie.
Well, when we came in today, we thought we'd bring an old one in. We'd bring a current one in, which is actually the title track of the album we recorded, and we thought we'd do a brand new one as well.
Brilliant. Okay, so we're are we in chronological order? Is the the album track next?
We are. The album track is next.
Okay, yeah. Great.
We've not organised.
So I'm guessing if it is the title track, it's going to be Pockets Full of Rain.
Got it. Anyway.
Brilliant. Got it. Okay. When.
Okay. I apologise to your listeners because it's my turn to sing now. Yeah.
Said I played the piano till my fingers bled, and there was never a thank you waiting. You were in the back room on your hands praying your song, singing your song until your mind was gone. All the things that I like in you, all the things that I frightened you to go somewhere to guide your hand. All you lonely people standing big face with your pockets full of rain. Down. This rain you may drown. Got too much to do with your time.
You don't see the feelings you're facing. Another shot is just sitting there waiting. So just seize the day. Dig a tunnel down, and it's right here that you'll stay. I am not judging what you will do. Take another drink if that's what you're gonna do. Love don't fade away.
Brilliant. Pockets for the rain. Fantastic. Okay, so we're going to have one more song. Who's singing this one? Who's going to catch me out? Okay. Right. Let's put the buttons in the right place. Brilliant. Okay, what's the... this is a new one, yeah?
It is, yes. It's called SOS.
It's not a cover of the ABBA classic.
I'm afraid not, no.
Oh, that's a relief.
Okay. That'd be good, though, wouldn't it? That would be good.
Okay, SOS, okay. When you're ready.
Looking around.
Fantastic. SOS, brilliant. Round of applause, even if it's just me. Fantastic. Feel free to clap yourself as well. Yeah, now it just seems insincere, doesn't it? Okay, that was brilliant. Really enjoyed that. Three songs from our guest tonight, The Velvet Tree, and we will be coming back and having a chat with Joe and Mark and Tarek in about 1 minute. New song from 254 in the Mirror. And thank you very much for the session. The Velvet Tree. Hello, The Velvet Tree.
Hello.
Thank you, and sorry.
Right, hang on a minute. We'll just check the microphones here. Just check to see if we can hear you. Right, I can hear you now. I can hear you. Yeah, I think you were. I think it was me.
Are we here?
I think it was my ears that weren't on.
Is this a dream?
It's a nightmare.
There is an argument that all of reality is actually an unreality, but we can talk about that another day, really.
Well, I was going to say, we can get onto existential stuff if you want. That's
fine. Can't start.
Straight away, it would be nice. Yeah, straight away. But I've got some other questions to ask. Oh, so okay. If you can weave the existence, no, actually don't. Right,
you will. Don't challenge him, he'll do it.
Cool. Okay, well, a bit of an introduction to the band. Okay, no strangers to Phoenix FM. You've been involved in four different gigs and sessions now, I think that's right. I think we started with the creative sessions in April 2013, about 18 months ago.
That was awesome.
Which was a great and bizarre day for all of us. A 24-hour stint, and then you came in. You had a session with Tony, I think, earlier in the year, January.
Yes, we did.
And then you played a gig for us at Phoenix Fridays at Old Brentwood. So it went down very well.
Which
we've played out a number of times. But we know all about you, but let's pretend we don't. Let's start from the beginning. Okay,
they're bored of us now. They don't want us again.
You've been a band for a long time. Is that right? You've been quite a while.
We've been the Velvet Tree for three and a half years.
Yes.
I guess.
It's gotta be, isn't it?
Just a very tiny bit of background. Tarek and I go back a long way, as they say.
Long time.
We were in a band that started in about 1998. It lasted about 4 years or so.
Right. What band was that?
The band was called Shoot Neil.
Oh, great name. I don't know any Neils, though, so it's not as funny as it should be.
Neil was the bass player. And whether that's a reflection on how people felt about him, I don't know. But we ended up being called Shoot Neil.
Was he not offended?
He was scared. His paranoia kicked in, and he said, what he was worried about was that on the off chance that one day we actually made it, that some crazed fan might take it upon themselves to carry out.
Yeah, I'm not sure that's paranoia. No, I think that's a normal reaction if you're playing in a band called Shoot Neil and you're called Neil. Yeah.
But to be honest, it was about the best name we could come up with at the time. We've never been that good coming up with band names. But anyway, so Tarek and I were in a band back then. That split up. Tarek moved away. We started writing songs about 5 years ago, I guess, 6 years ago, and emailing them to each other.
Right.
And then he moved home, and we thought, hey, let's give it another go. We got Joe involved, who's quite easily the best actual musician and performer in the band. And
we
need a bit of talent. We thought, so we'll get Joe in.
That's my official title, the talent.
It's
nice to have a company appraisal on air. It's always
good. It's not bad, is it? Yeah. must try harder. And so that's kind of how we got to where we are now, really, very much in a nutshell.
And it's now full steam ahead. Lots of radio sessions, radio play.
Hopefully.
Album. Well, album, I can't vouch for every other radio station, but, we play you. So why'd you choose the name, The Velvet Tree? Is there a story behind that?
Okay, at the risk of being the one who's dominating the talking, should I take that
Please
one?
Please do.
Right, okay. Essentially, the short answer is unfortunately not very interesting, which was I was sitting at a set of traffic lights in Rochford on the way out of Tarek's mum's house, and we've been desperately trying to come up with a name because we always disagree on band names.
I'm not concerned why you're going to my mum's house.
I'm quite concerned.
I'm pretty
about
sure
that,
you were there. The name came to mind, and I thought about it, and I thought I liked the idea of. You know, it's going to sound very muso now, a tree being something organic and big and strong.
Ow.
And juxtaposition it with this kind of the idea of velvet as something soft and vulnerable and what have you.
Like toilet roll.
If you like, like the toilet roll tree, we should have called it.
A tree covered in toilet roll.
It's not as catchy. The toilet roll tree.
So anyway, that was the idea, and it lent itself to sort of two different sides of, our creativity.
Don't
I'm really
do
sorry.
That.
It does quite fit into the metaphor of the velvet tree, which we've sort of discovered as we've got two different types of vocals, one being quite harsh vocals, one being quite clean on all the melodic stuff and all that, and we just found that we've created something of ourselves.
I think, if anything, we've grown into the name, if you like, because a lot of the songs we have are quite energetic and up tempo, but the lyrics are often about quite vulnerable subjects and sort of intimate things and
what have
you.
We're a bunch of wimps.
So we like to think we've grown into the name.
And it's interesting as well because you describe your genre as acoustic, but is acoustic a genre?
Well, it's kind of funny actually because we thought we were kind of folk rock, and then we applied to play at a folk festival that one of the places in Chelmsford was running, and they turned us down because they said we weren't folk and we weren't acoustic, which is kind of weird because we play acoustic guitars, and as I say, I mean, I always kind of figured that we were steeped in a kind of a folk basis, but as it turns out, we're not. So if maybe we could run a competition, if anybody can actually name what genre we are,
that would be great.
We'll get Joe to come round and wash your car for
you. Do you know what? You're inviting some proper insults there.
Well, just encourage what happens.
I have to admit, I think that's a little bit harsh to say, because that's, I think that's a fair assessment, folk rock. I think that's kind of a...
I think so. I mean, it's the easiest sort of way. The guy who produced the album we just released came up with one. It was something...
Didn't you use the word jazz?
Acoustic indie jazz or something like that, something ridiculous. But yeah, I mean, we can't really come up. So yeah, I think acoustic rock is probably the most straightforward, simplest.
It sounds good. Let's not bother making a label for it.
Yeah.
I think if we play the way we just did, very much.
So many.
Not referring to the quality. with just a couple of a drum and a cymbal and what have you, and it's sort of very stripped down, then it is very acoustic. But if you come and see us, for example, in October at Club Riga, where we're supporting Willy the Bandit. Ooh. See what I did there?
Nice.
We're coming on to that, don't worry.
Joe's got a more of a kit, and we'll have a bass player with us as well who plays on the album. Let's plug that as well. It's very much more of a full band sound. But to my mind, it is rooted in the acoustic thing. A lot of the people that inspire us to write the songs we write are very much rooted in that.
Right. I mean, who inspires you? Everyone has their long wish list.
How long we got?
Who's your? We got all that.
Well, for me, I'll start with the unknown one. There's a band called Ezio, E-Z-I-O. I urge anyone who's a fan of acoustic music, if you haven't heard of them, go and check them out.
Right.
They basically do acoustic music the way it's supposed to be done, and that's what we aspire to, maybe one day. But they're called Ezio. They're brilliant. For me personally, a lot of the early Springsteen stuff is very much an influence. People like David Gray, Dylan, obviously, you can't get away from that one.
Yeah.
So that's very much acoustic, kind of an acoustic place to come from, really.
Are there any artists where they influence you, but it's really not of this kind of acoustic genre?
Maybe Joe can talk a bit about this, because Joe is in a couple of metal bands as well.
Oh, right,
and he
okay.
plays with the full kit and does the whole thrash thing and all that kind of stuff.
So Joseph, who influences you?
Maybe you can talk a little bit about the sort of the rhythms that you bring into that.
Right, well, my two favourite main drummers are two guys called Mike Mangini and Chris Adler, and they both play in very big kind of metal bands, and I've been listening to them since I started about 5 years ago, and they've influenced me in such a way that some people actually mistake me for them because I use a lot of their styles. And an idea I had a lot in the early days.
So you nick their stuff? Is that what
you're basically. I'm a thief.
We just met some plagiarists.
Is it okay if you're a drummer to nick someone's? I mean, because there's probably a limited number of. I'm probably getting myself in hot water here, but I'm going to finish the sentence anyway. There's probably a limited number of rhythms that you can go for.
Careful you say that too.
Quite a large number, but of course it's not quite the same as all the keys on a piano, that kind of thing. So you could steal someone's style and make
it
your own.
It's actually the other way around, because when you think about it, all music's just based on a few notes. And there's just up in octaves, and you play them in a different way. I mean, there's millions and millions of different ways we can play music, but we only keep into a certain factor of it because that's what we seem to like, and we have done for years and years now. But the thing that I'm trying to do is bring in different styles into this music. For instance, using certain metal techniques that I use in my other bands, bringing it into an acoustic, folk, jazz, indie, whatever you want to call it, band.
Which gives it maybe not an edge, but it gives it a little bit of a
bit more of an original feel.
Yeah.
I think if you do come and see us playing sort of as a full band, there's a few songs we play where you really get to see
what Joe can do and the sort of things that he's talking about, some of the feels and some of the rhythms he uses.
Yeah,
yeah, very much sort of illustrate that.
Oh. And who are the other bands you're playing with at the moment?
I'm playing with a band called Neanderthal.
Right.
And another band called Walk in Coma.
I know Walk in Coma.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. I don't know whether you were with them at the time. They did a session for us.
I only became a full member really recently. But we got a couple of gigs lined up. I think the 16th of October, I'm actually playing with both of them on the same night at the same venue.
Right.
The Edge in Basildon, I believe.
Yeah. I've got a little bit of confession, actually. Walk in Coma did a session for us and I fell asleep.
Well, that won't happen with me because I'm too loud.
Do you know what? They were very loud too, and I still fell asleep. We had done the creative sessions. I think this was 2011. We did it at the Essex Wildlife Trust Visitor Centre in Bedfords Park in Havering Attibale.
Oh, yes.
And they came and did the session 3 o'clock in the morning. I think there were about the 20th out of 24 bands. I've been there since, about 19, 20 hours, and it was 3 a.m. and I just kind of, it was only a little micro sleep. It was just sitting there and I went, but they were the loudest band of the weekend, and that was the one that I fell asleep in.
If you listen to any of the stuff that they did back then, it's a lot different to what they do now. They've gotten a lot heavier.
Right.
Not just
a lot heavier. Like, really?
A lot heavier.
I thought you were going to say they toned it down a bit. Wow.
Try and sleep now, Paul. Try to sleep now.
We'll explore that. We'll explore that. Get some stuff over to us, and we'll get that on some of the other shows. Phoenix FM plays everything. Okay, so back to the Velvet Tree. Of course, since we first met, you've now got your debut CD, which is a real thing, which is real. It's brilliant. I hope I didn't break it there. Right, okay, so we've got Pockets Full of Rain, and some of these songs you've already played for us. I remember Atrophy and I think Celebrity and a couple of Amnesia, My Lover. Yeah, I think you've done these at the creative sessions and live in the studio as well.
Impressed. Well, I couldn't remember what I played, to be honest.
snappy one-word titles, always good to remember. What can you tell us about the album? Did it take a long time to put together?
Shut up, you two. It's my turn. No, I'm kidding. Sorry. No, I just, it took nearly actually the best part of a year, I think, didn't it? Because we started recording, 8 months or something. We started recording last summer. Basically, we were approached by a guy who worked at a studio called Sounds in Southend, who was looking to start up a label. And decided that we would be the one. So he approached us, and that was in sort of around May time. I think we got into the studio to start recording around June, July, and the thing finally came out in April this year, was it?
No, it was before that. I think you had
a launch party around April, didn't you?
Yeah, we did a big launch thing. Yeah.
It was available before that, but we didn't get around to doing the launch
thing. Fully commercialised
until a while later.
I have to admit, I'm a little bit disappointed because I'm looking all over the CD and I'm looking for Sounds 00001 and I can't see it, which is a shame.
It would have been nice.
It's got the smallest parental advisory label I've ever seen.
It's only one song. It's only one song with swearing on it.
Is that how it works?
It didn't seem too important. It was kind of funny, actually. That's my fault with the cover. The cover's a little bit smaller than it was supposed to be because I don't want to be telling about the mistakes. But it's only for the first sort of batch of copies. After that, it'll be about quarter size bigger than that.
So this is quite rare then.
It's a limited edition. It's a collector's edition.
It'd be worth a fortune.
The launch copy. Yeah. The ones that messed up. There we go.
Who is Frank Magnum?
There's a question. Shall I take that one?
Why not?
Yeah, go on then.
Okay. Frank Magnum, in terms of what you can see on that CD, is actually the little chap sitting in the tree on the front.
Right.
It's in cellophane, isn't it? But he's also on the actual CD itself. Frank Mac, again, I'm gonna come across like the right muso.
It's fine. We're a music show. You can be as muso as you like. No problem.
Essentially, Frank Magnum is kind of an alter ego. He came about. I wrote a song.
Mariah Carey moment.
If you like. There's a song on the album called "The Ballad of Frank Magnum."
Yep.
And I wrote this song, and I was looking through the lyrics as I was writing it, and it became apparent to me that it wasn't really a song written from my point of view. It was almost written from the point of view of someone who's like a very cool version of me, the way that I'd like to be if I could change everything up to cool. And so I thought it might be interesting to come up with a name for this version of me, and that that was Frank Magnum.
Couldn't get a better name.
And as such, he just sort of become this sort of unofficial sort of member whose sort of perspective we use in some of the songs. And he just became, it was almost like a songwriting tool, really.
He's responsible for all the cool things that we come up with.
Yeah, that's the way we put it. It saves us taking any credit for anything.
See, with the name Frank Magnum, I'm instantly thinking of sort of 70s cop film, mm-hmm. Streets of San Francisco, but holding an ice cream.
Terrific.
Yeah.
Suits me. Like Telly Savalas, but instead of the lollipop, he's got a cornet bar in his hand.
Well, a magnum, in fact.
Yeah. He's not magnum.
Actually, a cornetto would just mess with your head, actually.
It would, Well, maybe we're just going to go a bit left field, and people would expect the magnum, so we'd use a cornetto.
Yeah, no, I like it.
But yeah, so that's all it is. It was originally a songwriting tool, and he just sort of became this character. We had this song about him, and we thought we'd just use him as a persona, if you like, on the album.
So, I mean, a lot of people today, singer-songwriters, they're writing songs from a very personal perspective, but it sounds like you're going back to the sort of more traditional sort of classic storytelling, really.
Well, we try to a little bit, because
this generation's Ziggy Stardust.
Yeah, if you like. Yeah, why not? For me personally, I've sort of been writing songs for, I guess, for 20 years, and after a while, you know, there's only so much perspective you've got on the world, I guess. So if you can put yourself in the mind of someone else and write from that perspective, it just opens up other avenues.
I was surprised by how you say that, saying all that. We go back and listen to the album, I'm surprised at how sort of autobiographical it actually is, I think. To me, anyway.
Okay,
yeah,
so
you're nuts.
Okay, now I can get into a conversation about whether you're projecting that onto the album or whether that was. But that's going to just compound the Muso thing, isn't it?
So. Yes, it is.
That'll be for another interview.
Okay.
It's all interesting stuff. Although, hopefully, won't split up during the course of the interview.
we'll try not to.
As long as we're all singing from the same hymn sheet. Oh, and you've been recording videos as well.
Yes.
We have, yes.
Next plug.
Do you want to tell everyone about our new video? And maybe the old video as well.
And the old video as well. We were approached by a kid, some yank from the street, a 19-year-old chap called Alex Thraves, who it turns out is something of a child prodigy. he's whizzed through film school and everything. Everybody's sort of hanging on his every word, and he's got people who are in the industry coming and asking him for advice. And somehow, Joe's known him actually for a very long time.
His dad is a very old friend of my dad's, and I used to hang out with him when I was a kid, and I've watched him grow into the video photographer that he is now. All that stuff.
But he kind of approached us. He originally was supposed to be documenting the album, but then things happened and that didn't happen. But then he and I got in touch after the album came out, and he was very excited by the album, really liked the music, and had some concepts for some videos for some of the songs, starting with My Love, which was kind of the lead single we released a couple of months back, and he cut together this really very cool performance video for that. And now we're doing one called Celebrity, which is based on a concept by Alex that he and I have sort of thrashed out and worked into this kind of narrative. We just finished the first full day shoot on that last Sunday. That was awesome. That was really good fun. And I've got a few of our nearest and dearest to come along and run around like lunatics, and bless them, my poor old mother, she's still recovering. he cut together the first minute and sent a rough copy, and it looks fantastic. So we're going to be finishing that up over the next few weeks, and then it should be out, all being well, by the end of October.
There's going to be a few more videos, isn't there?
There are, yeah. He's got concepts for Pockets Full of Rain, and we got 30 Seconds as well, which is another song, more of a ballad, on the album as well. So,
and we also have a little Frank as well.
And we do have a Frank. What's really cool, Alex's little brother,
Aaron,
looks like the epitome of Frank Magnum. So he'll be popping up in little cameos in the videos. So if you can spot Frank, let us know and we'll send you a prize.
Nice work. It must be great to have the opportunity to do that, because not a lot of bands do this anymore, do they?
It's funny, Mark and I were talking about this the other day, and I kind of said, you know, if sort of going back 20 years, whatever, when we were in the first band, if we'd have had half of what we have going on then, it would have killed us, you know. But we've been really lucky. I think we've been surrounded by really good people. There's a heck of a lot of talent around Essex at the moment.
Too much,
a little bit too much. I'm not keen on that. I'm going to start taking some of the bands out. But some of them have gravitated towards us, and we've just been really lucky with the people that are willing to give up their time. We've got people like Greg and Stephen at Sounds, when Stephen was with Sounds, and Simon at Sounds, and we've got Alex now, and these people that just give up their time for us and to help us. And the idea is that obviously Alex will be really famous one day and we'll just ride his coattails. But
it couldn't be more of a statement of it's not what you know, it's who.
Absolutely. Because
everything that's actually happened to us has all been to do with the fact that we have contacts.
Yeah.
And that's about it.
I think that's one of the most important things, isn't it?
If he does become famous one day, you can always edit his Wikipedia entry and make sure that everybody knows that you were there first.
I've already done it, Paul.
If you've got a notepad, we can write that down, because I like that idea. It's good, that.
It's done, mate. It's in the bag.
And keep editing it again and again and again when they change it, yeah. So the physical album's out now. Did you manage to upload it to 100 million people's iPhones and iCloud accounts?
You did it first. You know what? I was going to, and then Bono told me he'd done it first. So we thought, you know what, that's old hat. So what we've done, we've done the opposite. We've actually stopped it from going into 500 million people's iTunes accounts.
I think a lot of people would be grateful for that. It doesn't help you market the music, but I think I saw everybody complaining about it, and I thought, everyone just hating you too, as usual. And then when I opened my iTunes and I saw it on there, I got quite offended. I got quite
really?
I felt like, and you know, excuse the metaphor, but I felt like Bono had come into my house and had a dump on my precious record collection. That's how I feel about it.
Well, I'm sure he didn't mean to. Yeah, but it's only there till October. So don't download it. And on October the 14th, it'll disappear and you'll have to buy it.
Well, I tried to delete it, and it said, would you like to hide it in the iCloud? No, I don't want to hide it. I want to delete it. It's not mine. Take it away.
I was surprised because I got it as well, because I am a fan of you two, I have to say. Obviously, not the last few albums have been tosh, but...
I thought Boy was very good.
Boy was awesome. Yeah. War was amazing. I mean, Acting Baby, Pop, I love all that stuff. But this new album is it's not a return to form, but I was listening to it for the third time today, and it's definitely a grower. I think there's some good stuff on there. They might have one more left in them after this, but...
I'm not sure they endeared themselves the way they've marketed this. I think it's going to upset a few people.
It seems to have done. Looking through Facebook, I was really surprised, actually, like you say, the amount of people that have been sort of moaning about it.
Because my initial reaction is... bloody you two,
right.
Putting that on my computer, you know. Well, no, it's not on my computer, but it looks like it is,
it
you
does.
Know.
It's
so, I don't know. This time next week, I'll probably have chilled out a bit and we'll give it a listen. So,
there's a couple of different.
It's probably worth pointing out on the subject of iTunes, though, that A Pocket Full of Rain is on iTunes.
Yeah, sorry, you
they don't need it.
And all good digital downloads.
It's on Amazon.
Sites.
It's on every
right
single
it's
one.
On
of
Amazon,
them.
Right, CD okay. Baby, iTunes.
Google Play.
Just in case you didn't get enough of us.
And some others as well.
So buy it. funnily enough, we are actually, we had a meeting with the producers the other week, and we are back in the studio, all being well. Towards the end of this year, with the second album coming out early next year, hopefully. So
right, so there's lots on the horizon going on.
Oh yeah,
a lot on the horizon.
There's more in the pipeline.
and gigging as well. You've got the gig in the Riga Music Bar.
The next one we've got lined up is it the second or the fourth?
Second.
That's the one. Club Riga, which is a great music venue. I mean, just the fact that we've got to play there a few times. For me personally, is just fabulous.
Dream come true.
Well, it is, because I mean, I've gone to see lots of acts that I absolutely love there, and just, you know, to play in the same place. It's one of those, you know.
We had a great one the other week. We managed to there's a local musician to Southend, fairly well known to a degree around the country, called Phil Burdett.
Phil. Yeah, he's been in. Yeah,
Phil's awesome. Excellent. And I mean, I'm kind of big fan of his since I was a kid, and he was one of my early inspirations. So we got to support his group the other night.
It's a dream come true,
which was
for
just
you.
Well, not quite a dream come true, but it was cool.
Well, it was for me. I was buzzing.
If it was Michael Jackson or Michael Stipe, I'd be, you know. But yeah, that was really cool.
So,
and now we're doing, we were supporting Willie and the Bandits on the 2nd, who are just phenomenal.
Don't know much about them.
You really should. They just got voted 6th must-see band at Glastonbury this year.
Oh, right. Okay.
We opened for them quite a little while ago. We had to stay for them.
That's phenomenal.
It was about an hour and a half set.
I think they've toured Europe and all sorts. If you like a bit of slide guitar.
Ooh.
Oh, he's brilliant.
Oh.
A bit bluesy.
Go and see it.
Bluesy rocky.
Really,
yeah.
Again, I think there'd be another band that would be very hard to... I'm going to try and use the word genre-lise.
You can't use that.
I'm not going to allow that.
Brilliant.
No,
I'm not going to allow that.
Someone missed
Pigeonhole. There you go. Excellent. Yeah, another band that hard to pigeonhole. They're kind of a little bit jazzy at times, a little bit bluesy. But
there's so much energy as well.
Absolutely, yeah.
Even if you only come there to see them.
Yeah.
But come early and see us as well, please. And then before that, we're playing on the 21st of September at Priory Park. As well.
Right, in Southend.
In Southend, yeah.
Have you done many gigs? Have you been touring a lot or touring at all?
We've done an awful lot of gigs in the last couple of years, but mainly locally. We've got up to Chelmsford a few times. Obviously, we've been over this way a few times. Rochford, Southend, Benfleet, Basildon. Where am I missing?
So, yeah, is the answer.
Quite a few, yeah.
Places like that.
I think the thing is, I read somewhere once, only a few weeks ago, in fact, I was reading something about, you know, kind of establishing bands and how hard it is. And one of the biggest bits of advice, actually, funnily enough, was to sort of play in your hometown and try and build up a following that way. Mm. Because if you can't get a following in your hometown, how can you expect to sort of anywhere else? The irony being, we can't get a following in our hometown. But, yeah, so we're kind of playing, we are playing centrally to ourselves, you know, trying to sort of build up. I think we are slowly but surely getting some momentum going.
There's a few people who like
us. My mum loves us, man.
She bought two copies of the album.
I bought three.
Have there been any gigs that have been particularly memorable? Everyone's just gone nuts.
Another one.
And you just hit all the right notes.
Go on, Joe.
I think the best gig we've played is at the Bread and Cheese.
That was a good one. That was awesome.
That was
Benfleet.
Benfleet.
A chap called Mando Lou runs some open mic nights, and
awesome guy.
We've played at quite a few of his nights, and he did one at the Bread and Cheese in Benfleet. It must be 18 months ago or something. But it just all came together that night. We were just on it, and
we model all the way that we play these certain songs on that night.
Yeah, we watched the video back and say, right, that's what we're supposed to be doing.
Well, that's how it should
be. But also, I would say there was a competition beginning of the year called Undiscovered Music Project.
Yes.
I believe it was. We got through to the final of that. And that was the final was at Chinnery's, and there was a lot of people came along to that. Mm. And that was
really
phenomenal. Good. That was really good fun.
Yeah, was it like a Battle of the Bands thing? Was it?
Yes.
I take it you didn't win.
That's right.
Because you said you reached the final.
Exactly. But to be honest, we got through to the final, and we were more than happy with that.
You should have seen the look on their faces when they said our name in the first round.
Because the thing is, as well, is that for the most part, we don't normally play with our bass player, so it's a slightly unusual setup, not having the bassist, being acoustic. Joe doesn't have a full kit. It's kind of stripped down. We still manage to make a lot of noise. Mm. But when you get put on a stage alongside rock and metal bands, you do stick out a little bit, which may be a good thing, maybe a bad thing, I don't know, but it's
definitely a bad thing.
It didn't seem to do us any harm in that competition anyway. Someone obviously likes what we were doing,
and we got Walthamstock out of that as well.
There's a festival in Great Waltham called Walthamstock that happens every year, and on the strength of playing that, we were asked by the organisers to go and play Walthamstock, so
that's brilliant.
That was quite a privilege, to be honest, because it was an excellent event.
We did get free burgers. It was awesome.
Yeah, we got a hot dog out of that. That was great.
That's not bad, actually. That's more than I've been paid for doing gigs.
Well, normally we have to pay to do the gigs.
We've done Battle of the Bands here. We did it once, actually, in 18 years of history, and I hated it. It was
really.
I do not like judging music. Really, it's
It's difficult, isn't it? How do you compare one band to another?
Doesn't make any sense at all.
Completely different types of music. You know.
Yeah.
I mean, at least the good thing is that you're actually judging it rather than having a crowd vote. Which is normally what happens at a Battle of the Bands.
Mm. Yeah. And then it comes down to who's got the most sort of friends in the audience.
Exactly.
Well, in the end, although we organised a competition, it was for a place at the Brentwood Festival last year. And so in the end, we made sure that the organiser of Brentwood Festival did all the judging. And I made it very clear that he's doing all the judging.
Nothing to do with you.
So we ended up, music's an art form, isn't it? What I like, you might not like, and vice versa. And that's the way it is. It's not, like you said, it's... You can't say one band is really better than anybody else. It's all subjective, so
it makes the
whole competition meaningless, really, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, it's funny, you know, like we were talking about U2 earlier, and I'm sort of reading all these comments on Facebook about blooming U2, how do you do? And I'm quite happy that they did, whereas other people,
it
is completely, totally subjective. Objective.
That's the one.
Subjective. Subjective. Yeah. Yeah.
But people get our resident dictionary.
I'm so not a lyricist.
People get very upset when you see these sort of troll websites like BuzzFeed and things like that. 10 bands from the 70s you must hear, and obviously they're going to miss off 50 bands that you must hear.
For sure.
And then you just get a long list of comments underneath it saying, this list is wrong. It's not wrong. It's the guy's list. It can't be wrong.
That's it.
It's just not your list.
How can an opinion be wrong?
Love it. Yeah. Okay. So what else does the future hold for the band? We've got a second album coming up. More gigs, maybe?
More gigs. We've got... I'm sort of talking with... I've been talking to it for a couple of months now, on and off. And I can't remember the name of the company, but they run they book bands.
Symptomatic.
Who book bands in for venues in London, across London. They approached us a couple of months ago, so I'm just waiting to hear back from them for some dates, probably next year now. So we'll be looking to get up into London next year, maybe do some more festivals, ideally, next year.
Aren't we playing at Colchester's football ground?
We are playing at Colchester football ground.
Oh, what's that all about?
That's really random.
Well, they have. It turns out, like Southend do, there's a chap called Adam Duffield, who you may be aware of, plays a lot around Southend and elsewhere.
We love Adam.
Who's very good, check him out. He's played a couple of times for Southend United's ground, like during half time.
Right.
Or beforehand, I don't know how it works.
Well, at Roots Hall, they do it in half time, and this at Colchester, it's beforehand.
Oh, it's beforehand, okay. Yeah. So, through Tarek being our social person, managed to get us a gig with Colchester United. So we're playing, I think it's March, is it next year?
Yeah, March next year.
Is this something they do every week? Or
Every game. They sent us across, when he kind of asked us for our availability, he sent us across all the fixtures for the next sort of year and said, you know, what do you want to play? What do you want to play? So by the time we kind of dilly-dallied around and requested, I think October or November, they were all gone, so we had to settle for March. But but yeah, I think it's a fantastic thing, you know, to sort of have a football game with some live music going on. It's awesome, great idea.
Yeah, I think it's good to support it. I mean, it can be a tough crowd, I suppose. Mm. You know, football and music doesn't always mix. You'll get
especially
people in the crowd.
Not within this band.
No, we're going to take a little portable cage and sit behind it.
Yeah,
I think you'll be all right. I think you'll be all right at Colchester. I don't think there's going
to
be.
I'll look forward to it. I mean, just going somewhere different to play to some different people.
Nice stadium as well.
Big
stadium.
Mark's just kind of hit the nail on the head there, actually, in terms of what we want to do going forward, is just getting in as many different people hearing us and either liking us or throwing things as possible.
Ultimately, a big sort of thing that we've been trying to get is just gigs in London, because that's what every musician wants to do these days, is just gig in London, because there's a lot of really good venues out there.
But also places like Cambridge, Oxford, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Those
all those places.
Towns,
I mean, we
Manchester.
Played Cambridge a little while ago, didn't we?
We did play Cambridge.
For Mencap.
We did. That was awesome. With the Ubuntu band, which was fantastic. That was really good fun.
Isn't that computer language?
I don't know what that is.
Interesting, like four computer programmers just making whirring noises with disk drives.
That was Kraftwerk, surely. Imagine.
Something like that, yeah. That was the 70s version of the Ubuntu band. Yeah.
So the best gigs are obviously, they're the ones that you go out of your way to go to.
Yeah.
It's nice going elsewhere. And just
what was nice, actually, what was really cool, we just turned down the Edinburgh Festival, which was really cool.
Oh, right.
We got asked, and I didn't even poach that one. I think he came to me and sort of asked us to, you know, if we'd be up for playing, but the logistics were just a little bit silly, because they offered us two gigs, but not on consecutive days, so we had to play sort of at least two or three days apart.
And I take it they weren't going to send a car.
They weren't going
to
send a car.
Or provide anywhere to stay, or anything like that.
And as you know, I mean, staying in Edinburgh during festival time, it's just, I mean...
Well, I think Scotland are a bit busy to have us at the moment, anyway.
Yeah, they've got other things on their mind.
Yeah, possibly.
I have no idea. Don't watch the news. Not seen anything.
Don't.
Well, they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom. Well, we'll see.
Brilliant. Okay, Scotland. So lots going on for the band over the next year. Thank you very much for coming in today. Really appreciate
welcome.
It.
Thanks for the
songs
chance.
Were great. It's nice to have a chat and a catch up. We could probably do this all day, but
we're not doing anything, so let's do it.
Eventually, have to turn the lights off and lock up. So, it'll be great to have you back another time soon. Come back and keep us up to date on the videos and how's the second album's going. And I'm sure we can catch up and have another chat. Brilliant.
Cheers, Paul.
Yeah,
thanks
very
much.
Cheers, man.
Community radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.